And yes, hello and welcome back to another episode of the Talking Para podcast. And we are live on Facebook, and this will be brought out on Spotify and Apple and all the other usual suspect places that you get your podcasts from. We've got a full house tonight. All the boys in the house again, like last Sunday as well. We've got Joel from League Adventures, who's just flexing his muscles there. We've got Hayden from the Entertain House. We've got Maddie Tate, big Maddie Tate. We've got myself, Troy, from the Paracave podcast. And we've got Adam, our illustrious host. Adam, how are you going, mate?
Wonderful. I'm just rocking the 2001 replica jersey. The 2001 jersey, not the replica. Because, you know, like when something's a classic, you just don't need to make changes to it. You just need to go with it and rock it. And that's how I think we all feel at the moment. So I just thought I'd rock at night, maybe on the weekend. We'll see how we go. Look, obviously a wonderful... First of all, let's touch on this. We're all there at the game. So that was obviously a great thing to have us at our first game. I know we often joke about celebrities in the group and people having fans and stuff like that. But Troy, you're approached by a young kid, a young fan, we'll say. And it just happened to be the moment we were all standing together. Now, we haven't got together very much. So this could happen to you all the time. I don't know if it does, but I guess what we want to know is how much did you slip in? Was it a 50? Was it a jersey? Have you been hanging around outside schools again trying to find kids? I don't know. But what's been going on?
Well, if I did have a Paracave podcast hat, I would have given him one of those, but I didn't have one spare on me. But no, mate, it's just a... just a random fan who just came up and was excited to meet me, I guess. So
yeah, you didn't have a hat with you because you gave it to him an hour earlier.
No, incorrect, Hayden. Didn't bring any hats with me on Sunday, but no, just a fan who listens to the Paracave podcast. And look, I tried to give your this podcast a plug and Joel's podcast a plug as well, but unfortunately, no, he had never heard of those ones before. So negative.
That's probably a good thing considering.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah,
considering the age he probably shouldn't be listening to us.
Yeah, look, potentially yes, but look, it's pretty humbling, I guess, to know that someone's listening to the podcast and they enjoy listening to it.
That's what I mean. What are the odds that the one person who listens to the podcast was at the game and walked past at the time? So that's absolutely brilliant. I'm just joking, Troy. Love your work. Love what you bring.
Thank you very much.
Look, we are early tonight. We've gone a bit early. We usually do about 8 o'clock. We're going 7:15. So we've got to remember to keep it, as one of Troy's fans might be watching, keep it kid-friendly.
Not really, because he doesn't know about the Talking Para podcast. So maybe not.
Well, maybe, Troy. Maybe while we're sitting here chatting, you could give it a share quickly on the... talking on your whatever it is, Troy's Paracave podcast. I can't even spit it out. Cross promote. All right. Give it a share. We might get him on here. If the young fella can get on here, or his dad might be on Facebook or YouTube, get him in the comments.
Yeah.
And if you come in the comments, we'll make you a deal. We'll make sure Troy sends you out a hat. Okay. that's a good deal, isn't it, Troy?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, he's a massive fan. So if he does turn up in the comments, then yeah, I'll give him a hat for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on from Troy stardom. Before we get into the game, that wonderful win on the weekend, I want to start with a bit of a... We touched on it before, but because we were all there on Sunday, I want to touch on it again. And it's been summed up perfectly. Look, we're going to touch on that jersey quickly. I'm not going to mention the jersey too much, but a comment that summed up what's going on in our club at the moment. I know we've often touched on it last year, and I'm going to touch on it again with the game day experiences. It seems like the people running our club at the moment are so distant from the fans, just so much different opinions from the fans. So what I want to touch on is the jersey, first of all, because someone summed up well and said, the reason these decisions aren't being made and things are being changed and things are being changed on game days is the people involved in making these decisions aren't fans of the club, and they weren't fans of the club back when this jersey was out and stuff. And I could not think of a better way to describe it. I'm going to touch on the game day experience again. When Parramatta run out, they should always run out to the Para Power song. Everyone knows the song. We don't need to sing it for you, but we could probably do a rendition a bit later if you don't know, if someone wants to ask.
You're the musician in the podcast, so you should sing it.
I've got the guitar here. We'll see what we can do. But But no, like they didn't run out to that. This, I know we touched on the last pod, the last home game, and I get it. It's a great idea. I get they're trying to have a tribute to Big D with the Paras in the Tunnel thing. We've seen it, obviously, before. They had it a bit of a hyped up version of it last year come across, but I only said it a couple of times, and they went to the Paras song running out. They've obviously got the tribute there as they run out of the sheds where they've got the sign above them, which I think is all that needs to be done. Trying to get the crowd. First week, it was holding up the signs. Second week, it was, last week, it was getting the ground announced to try and get people to chant Paras in the Tunnel, let's go. A fucking cringe. And what it did, it distracted the shit out of people. Manly, there wasn't that many Manly fans. They made some noise earlier, so it probably seemed like there was because they were in that same section. But Manly ran out to a cheer at first because we were too busy crapping on with this shit they're trying to do, this game day experience they're trying to do. It's absolutely fucking rubbish. Like, no disrespect to anyone who's had the idea. Look, if it worked, it'd be a great tribute to him. But it's not going to work. No one's going to do that. Go back to, you know, announcing the opposition teams coming out, saying come out to a chorus of boos, because Parramatta is obviously awesome in regards to that. But then we want to see Parramatta come out to the Para song and a cheer and the Para chant going, Therese, one of those kids there with the podcast right now. Is that what's going on?
Nah, that's just my daughter going off.
Yeah, fair. It must be bedtime. She hasn't got a free hat.
Also a fan of the podcast as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And she has a Parakeet podcast hat.
She has a hat. Lovely. But look, that's all I want to say about it. Joel, it was your first experience, obviously, at Combank Stadium. You've been to the old Parramatta Stadium. You've seen on TV, been to other games. They're trying to change something. And the old saying is, if it's not broke, don't try and fix it. Whatever the fuck the saying is. Sorry, there's the 721 Spurs swear word. Like, I just don't get it, and I don't know what needs to be said and what needs to be done. There's a feedback thing. I know that we've got this game day experience crew that I guess you got five of the biggest fans sitting here. I've never nominated for it. Have you been on it before, Troy, that game day experience crap?
Nah, not the game day experience one, just the members council.
So, the members council, game day, whatever. Whoever it needs to be.
They scrapped that anyway, didn't they, Troy? The members council without even telling anyone.
Do they scrap it because they don't want to listen? Because... like I said, I'll go to Joel first because I can go on about this for hours. But honestly, I feel like it's motivating. I love going to footy games, but I'm going to get the same experience sitting in front of the TV. Their timing is all wrong on trying to start the parachain over the audio. It completely throws off when Simon's trying to start it on the drum, which he starts at the right times. And like I said, it resulted in that. I know Manly on top of that first 20 minutes, it felt like a Manly home game for quite a while. Joel, your first experience, your thoughts. Obviously, give us your thoughts on the stadium. Give us the positives and then go through what you experienced on that game day.
Oh, Combank, honestly, like the talk is true what they all say. And I've been to Suncorp plenty of times since I've been up here. And honestly, I'll go out there and say that was a better experience than Suncorp, and that's saying something because I love going to Suncorp. Combank was a different kind of beast. It's already made me keen to get out there more and more. Don't know how I'm going to manage it.
Moving down, Joel, are we?
I'll freaking fly points if you right up there or something. But honestly, I miss it already. Like, I used to love going every home game, like I used to when I lived in Sydney, and just to see how much it's all changed there now. It's a really good thing. It's obviously makes you really excited to be a Para fan, to be excited about the future because that sort of stuff is in place and they're doing that correctly. Like, that stadium is just state of the art. It's something else. And You all said to me, like I was saying about my seats where I was sitting, you're all like, don't worry about it. Like, wherever you are, you're literally on the action. And you are like, I was up one end of the field behind the post and I could literally easily see what was going on down the other end of the field. And there's not many stadiums, if any, in Australia where that's the case. If you're on one side of the field, you're literally just staring at the screen for most of it. So that was a positive. I was really happy about that. Obviously, like all the food, and that's great. We all spent some time at the Leagues Club beforehand, which has been done up quite nicely, which is really good to experience and see. I'm a bit disappointed, obviously, a bit of family things with the Hall of Fame that's sort of been scrapped, and it's just like a couple of photos now, which I think is a bit disappointing. I think there should be a bit more of a sort of a paid respect sort of thing to the players that have been there, done that for the club before, and have such a big meaning. It's like they've sort of just moved on with it in a way, which is a bit disappointing and a bit upsetting. But knowing especially what my pa personally has done for the club, I think it was a bit disappointing to see just a little photo in the top right-hand corner of him. So that wasn't ideal. But in saying that, moving towards, I guess, the negative side of it, like that Power in the Tunnel thing, I know it means a lot to the players still. It means a lot to a lot of people at the club. There's a very big, deep sort of respect thing when it comes to it. Just do it once, literally, like just about as they're about to run out, just have it once blared out, so everyone knows Barra's in the tunnel. That's it. Like, it was like a techno DJ version of it. It was just so cringeworthy and embarrassing. I had Manly fans next to me, some family and stuff, unfortunately. But they were sitting there laughing their heads off, and I just had to cop it. I go, man, I can't say anything to defend this. This is actually embarrassing. Like, I don't know who thought of that, but it sort of sums up the same time as this jersey. I know everyone's going on about this new heritage jersey that's out. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I don't know why the club wants to, first of all, embrace this year that we choked and should have won the grand final with one of the
you're going too far.
Hang on, slow down. Everyone else is gonna have a say here. We've got a whole jersey segment coming up.
I'm gonna go to Hayden next. Hayden, you obviously go to a lot of games, different games, different stadiums. Before you do, I want to say one more thing and I'll go to you for that question. I just feel like the audio was completely wrong on Sunday. Like, it seemed like the speaker wasn't loud enough as well. It just seems like the announcements and the song at the end, the song was so quiet then when we won. And also on that, they didn't put the lyrics. I know the lyrics, but they didn't put the lyrics up on the big screen with the video they used to play as well. So something's not going right there. I think I've just got the DJ playing it, but there's this, like, I want to encourage people. People obviously getting in the comments about the DJ and the para chant and stuff like that. Get on, have your say on here. But when the game day post comes up for the game on Monday and they do that game day post and what to expect, if you're passionate about this, start a bit of a fucking movement. And get on and, you know, have your comment. Say you don't like it. Say it's cringe. Say whatever. Don't be disrespectful. Don't bag it out too much. But tell them what you want, because we as fans should have a say about our game day experience, because the game day experience is meant to be for the fans. It's not meant to be for the club or some political statement or whatever the fuck it is. And like I said, anyway, I'll go to Hayden now. I could go on about that for hours.
Yeah, well, I saw a good comment earlier, and obviously we get to comments later. I was just trying to find it, but they kind of said how it's kind of gone to that American experience vibe, which I'd completely agree with. It almost feels like you're at an NBA game, especially that first week with that Paris in the tunnel sides and this, whatever you want to call them, game day squad, cheer squad, like you see in other sport. But, you know, for someone who's been to pretty much every Parramatta game for the last 5 years, especially at home, I think these last two have been a little bit disappointing in regards to that pregame. I think even on that American side, the hype up song and the hype up moment on the screen from, you know, the previous year, like they have done with previous songs, the last song being the jungle one. I forget what this year's one is. They're good moments. But, you know, what Big D meant to the club and to have the 2019, you know, jersey imprinted, and that respect level shown over the years to keep this going is a bit of a trend. As you said, Joel, felt very techno-y, very out of place for the club. So as Adam said, I'm someone who, you know, you'd be jumping in the comments or even writing to the club to just say, hey, is this the right approach? Because clearly people are talking about it. It's a talking point. About the audio, I think I agree with that. I think the big thing, which this could be a bit harsh, but I actually don't like how the club continues to play. And I know a lot of clubs do it, but when Parramatta gets into, say, an attacking opportunity, you know, we've got our own drummers around the ground. We've got drummers that make it loud starting parachant. Why do we need this parachant over the speakers? And I've seen other people make videos on this being an issue about Parramatta playing their music over the speaker to hype their fans up. It should be something that the fans do themselves, you know, starting chant within the crowd, starting the drum. So, yeah, I think the last two times to Combank, even though I have enjoyed the games themselves, the pre-game experience have been a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, you're right. And it's interesting you say that, because I know there's a few teams that do it. I know Newcastle try to be into obviously closest games to Newcastle games. It was absolutely cringe there. But the problem I have with them starting it, like, is the timing's not right or the chant's already started somewhere. The best thing about a chant starting, even without the drum, when a chant starts without the drum even, and I guess I recognise Simon being there since the stadium opened, who's the drummer, I know, but the best thing about the chant starting is the chant starting in a small section and slowly building. Now, with a minute to go, the chant started naturally with the drum, naturally as you can get these days, and it built up around the whole ground. You can go back and watch that on TV with 41 seconds ago. It sounds amazing. No audio, no club interaction needed. There's an interesting point you made there about, I can't remember what it was, but you made a really interesting point. I don't know if I can go back to essentially about the jersey or whatever, something along those lines, but I don't get why I've lost my train of thought completely because I'm just worked up about this, as you can see. But go to Matt. It'll come back to me. Matt, go. Thoughts?
I said it was I grew up at the stadium, so
Like, I remember Big D cooking the sausage sizzles at training and all the open training sessions and all that. So to hear, and it was my first home game. I had COVID the first round one. And it was upsetting. I don't know if his family knows what they've done to that. Paris in the tunnel and turn it into a DJ techno shit. It was just crap. Like, it's just, as I said, it's a disgrace to his, like, you're supposed to be his memory and carrying it on. And all they needed to do was what they done last year. Paris in the tunnel across the stadium lights, hear it once, and then play the Paris song and they come out, eels are flying and stuff like that. But that was, yeah.
Eels don't fly.
Well, you know what it is. They're electroflying. Yeah, whatever the word. You know the words.
Yeah, we've got to move on. So I'm going to get three thoughts here because we're running out of time. But the point I wanted to make was the one that Hayden made about Big D's legacy. Obviously, it's great the club is obviously making some acknowledgement of that. But I guess what I want to raise, this is where I was trying to go before, is it's one thing turning around acknowledging your history and your past there, but we're not doing it in so many other ways. So you can't pick and choose where you acknowledge the club's history. We can't go back and change a jersey completely wrong. We can't change our club's colours. Everything we're changing, like Joel said, the Hall of Fame's completely changed, things like that. And then just decide this is the pick the one thing we're going to acknowledge. Trey, I'll get your thoughts quickly. We need to move on because
fluoro, just saying.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely terrible. I don't know why my mother bought that. Trey, go.
Okay. Well, look, I agree with what all you guys say. It shouldn't be a techno version of that. It should be simply how it was played last year. Now, they play that Paris in the tunnel for the crowd and for the team as well. It goes down into the sheds. So that's their indication to leave the sheds and go into the tunnel and onto the field. But, yeah, it shouldn't be a techno version at all. Put the old Parramatta song on. As well when they enter the stadium, enter the ground. And also, I think too, yeah, you're right, they with the chanting, that's got to be fan generated. It can't be stadium orientated. It needs to be fan orientated because, as you said, Adam, there's nothing better than, you know, one, two people starting a chant and then the whole bay starting it and then it going around the ground. And whether it's just a Parramatta chant or, you know, the wanker chant or whatever, it's a fan-based thing. So,
you heard it first here, guys. Monday, approximately 6 minutes in the game, Troy is a wanker chant to go around the ground. Just joking. All right.
Well, you'll need to start that. So,
Sorry, you go, Troy.
No, I was just about to say, look, there's 100% a lot of things positive that you guys said. And but, yeah, I think we need to keep the Paras in the tunnel, but as it was last year.
Yep. Can I just ask you, because we've spoken a lot about the pre-game side of entertainment, and maybe I'm thinking of this the wrong way, and it's a silly thing by the club, but I feel like this is a direction that we're heading. Do you think that the reason they're doing this whole DJ pre-game, more kiddie-ish vibe, we speak about how the players don't often come around after the game. Do you think this is the club saying, well, you know, let's make it more entertaining by people adding these things that in this day and age people enjoy, especially a younger generation, rather than having to have, you know, 10 minutes after? Because you've seen clubs go around with timers where players stick around for that timer, seeing the fans afterwards, whereas Parramatta, you know, some players, Ryan Madison, for example, really stays around after the game. But I just think this is a way that the club's saying, you know, we don't have to go out there with your fans. This is what we've done for game day so that they still enjoy themselves when they're there.
I'm going to quickly answer that because we need to move on because we're trying to fit two podcasts. Obviously, we can get Sunday night in because of the game. That was a great catch, by the way. As someone who takes a kid to a game, I get what you're saying, but I don't give a fuck what they do before the game, to be honest. What I'm trying to do before the game is sit my kid as still as I possibly can to get him to watch the game. After the game, he's free reign. If you want him to go down the fence and meet, I don't care if he sees one player, he sees two players, whatever. I don't care what they do before the game. My main thing is getting him into the game as late as I can, sitting in there, loading him up with food at halftime when he gets bored, taking him for a walk at halftime, the time bit, and after the game, moving on. So I get what you're saying, but that is their way of doing it, they're going the complete wrong way about it. Because as a young, I see watching through a 3.5-year-old's eyes, he gets excited by seeing the game and seeing the players. He's not going to give a shit about some music played. And like I said, the music they're playing isn't really kid suitable anyway. Like if they're going to bust out the Wiggles or High Five or something or the Peppa Pig song, like he'll love it. But well, let's move on because, like I said, we've got a bit to get through. We're also going
to
do...
I want 30 seconds. One thing I forgot to mention about on my game day experience. The other thing I want to mention is the fans. Like that was a massive game against one of our arch rivals, Manly. And to be honest with you, I thought the crowd was pretty disappointing. Like I know we talk about the atmosphere and creating something. Well, it's up to the fans as well. And to be honest with you, like everyone tells me how much it echoes in that stadium. It was pretty silent for a lot of it. Like when we scored and stuff, yep, it was a great roar, et cetera. But I think we only got, 20,000 in the end. There was a lot of empty seats around. And for a Sunday Arvo Manly game, I thought that would have been a sellout. I thought I was heading there and there was going to be bumper to bumper.
I want to touch on it. Can you see me right? Because I've just dropped my microphone about 6 times. Apparently, I didn't want to sit on the car I had it sitting on, speaking of kid-friendly. That's what I was trying to sit on to make it higher because I can't
get a microphone stand, mate.
I do, but I can't. I've usually got a garbage truck, but I don't know where it's when I can see it. I'll get it soon. But look, it's interesting you say that. I want to touch on a couple of reasons because I've seen this comment as well, and we probably won't have an open discussion, but it's one for another time. But I guess it comes down to one, the cost of living. A lot of Manly fans didn't travel, let's be honest. Like I said, it seemed like there was a lot more of them than what there was because of that early stages and the fact they're all together and it echoes, because it does echo, you can't deny that. But it comes down to how much this club is charging for tickets to the game. A game day ticket to sit in that section, which was the most empty section, besides obviously the very tops, behind the goals in the lower section, is $72 for an adult. Now, I think it's about, for a family of four, was just over $200. Let's say a wife or and a husband or two husbands, we can't, you know, it's 2024, and two kids or whatever. Two women and two kids, whatever it is, a family of four. Even if you're one of those sneaky people like myself who has a family ticket to a lot of away games, definitely not home games. You turn around and you $200, that's it. But then you look at the game, it's 4 o'clock. So if you're gonna make your way to the game, you've got to buy lunch, you've got to buy dinner. Your kids are gonna want something to eat in there. You look at a $400 or $500 day just to get to the game these days. With petrol on top of that, that's a lot of money for everyone to spend. Like Australia is in the moment is in like probably the worst cost of living crisis we've had for quite a while. And you know, everything just keeps going. I think that's being affected by, and it's not just at Parramatta. It's across all games. Like Leichhardt, I think there was only 14,000 there. I was about 18. St. George, there was 9. I know St. George being terrible, but I think we're going to see a bit of this. People are going to pick and choose which games they come to, because if you're not a member of the club this year, it is unaffordable to go. Like I'm organizing a bus trip down in June. We usually sit in the reserve seats, but we're getting the general admission for $25 this year because, like I said, we're looking at $75 already a person plus drinks and stuff on top of that. It's too much. So, like I said, we can have a fully open.
Well, that's the better way to go about it is to get membership. But there's also 100%. Other factors. That
but
come
memberships
into it as well.
Memberships went up as well. Don't forget,
like, everything's gone up.
There's yeah. factors that come into that as well. So, I mean, we don't own the stadium either. So,
yeah, I get
it. Rent it, and that's one of the factors. But also, it was the first weekend of the Easter show as well. So that probably kept a lot of people away. They may have went there instead of the game.
Yeah, like I said, my game day ticket is $90, $92 for a game day ticket. I pay $450 for the adult for the year. So if I get to 5 games out of the 11 home games now, obviously with the Darwin. Darwin game. I'm laughing if I get to half game. I get to most games anyway. Obviously, my members pack on top of that. So it is worth it. But like I said, I wouldn't be paying that every week. If I had to pay the week, I'd be sitting, you know, I wouldn't be going. Anyway, let's move on to the game because we've got a bit on. So we're trying to fit 2 podcasts, Sunday nights and tonight's that. So obviously the result, I'll run through the result quickly. We obviously come away 28-24 winners after being down 14-0, down 18-16 at halftime. I don't know why my stats haven't come up with any try scorers, so I'm not even going to bother running through them because this app apparently hates me. I better have my things
better
I love.
Better see any Talangi noses.
What? I know who scored the tries.
Harper.
Yeah, no. I'm not going through. I'm trying Harper to get the stats up for the meters. Look, I thought Paula was good again with 126 meters in 31 minutes. So something interesting happening there. He looked like he was warmed up, ready to come on for the last 15, 16 minutes, and due to a couple of errors and defensives. They just couldn't get him on. I think Paulo will start this week against the Tigers. Before I move on to our player of the match and our moments of the match and just general comments, I want to touch on Blaze, obviously. And this is going to be a very big statement, but a very big statement I'm going to make.
Bold statement?
It's just big. Blaze's debut is the most ready NRL player for Parramatta and the best debut I've seen. He looked the most comfortable in his first game since Jared Hayne. Okay, now, if you want to look at that, Jared Hayne debuted on the wing, went to the stands before he eventually got to his natural position of fullback, which was when Luke Burke got injured with a dislocated knee, I believe. I can't remember what year that was. Don't get me right. But Hayne obviously got that debut. I think it was 2007. Anyway. Not his debut, when he got the run at fullback. So that's the most comfortable I've seen a player. We get to see Blaze in his natural position at 5'8 this weekend, which is his preferred position. Apparently played all his juniors there. I'm excited. I think the kid's going to do wonderful things. The way he was comfortable to take the tap sets off the kicks and just run the ball straight over the top of people as fast as he could. The way he ran over Tommy Turbo. Look, struggled defensively. I don't think he got a lot of help from Harper. Once again, not blaming Harper. He's not a winger. It's just the situation we're in. We see Harper back in the centres this week, but didn't get a lot of help. But the way he readjusted that in the second half, every time Tommy Turbo ran that sweep and he seemed to cover it, he seemed to be, and I've been absolutely blown up with this online of people saying he didn't have to cover Harper, but he did, because he led the line. Now, for those who don't know the in and up defence, it's as simple as a winger, you wait for your centre to go. In the second half, he was communicating well with Harper. When he was going, Harper was going, and they absolutely nailed it. They weren't doubling up on the same player. It was absolutely perfect. Excited by the kid. Let's move on. You can obviously touch on that as I ask you the question. I'll go to Matt because he was second last before. Matt, your thoughts on the game, your player of the match, and your moment of the match?
I think you got all of them. I think the moment of the match, I'm going to say the Mitch Moses try. Because that put us, I think it put us in front. It gave us that roll on. Player of the match has to be Blaze. As you said, best debut. We've been talking the kid up for so long. Even the guys at work came to me on Monday and was like, wow. But it's good to see finally a player that you've been watching since the age of 15 actually come through and make his debut other than Jared. That's probably player of the match. Moment of the match would be the Moses try, the wraparound with Junior. Just all round.
Yeah, look, I think obviously didn't get off to the best of starts, but showed resilience to get back into the game. For me, I think the moment of the match was RCG's tackle on Jackson Paul Paolo, and that entire set was intense.
You've stolen it from me. I was going to go, that was possibly the best defensive set I've seen by a Parramatta team in a very long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Huge. They made 16 metres or something off 5 tackles?
Yeah, it was intense. So I actually think that was probably the turning point of the game, even though Parramatta was sort of in control there. For me, the player of the game, probably a little bit out of left field, but Joey Lussick, I thought, was really good on Sunday. I think just his service to his outside men was good. And, you know, he took a few kicks as well for line. I don't know why they took the 2-point goal at that time when they were on a bit of a roll. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, Dylan Brown was solid again. He was poking his head through the line, almost got through a few times. So, all for better this weekend.
I'm just going to, before I go to Joel, I'm going to jump in quickly and say my player of the match, because they keep getting stolen, because you stole my moment of the match. My player of the match was actually Mitchell Moses. 3 try assists, 1 try. Sorry, Joel, I knew you were going to say it. I had to. I had nothing else. Everything else has been stolen off me. We know he's obviously been, not his foot injury, we know he's been carrying that groin injury as well. And the way he took control of that game and seemed to be pushing through the pain when he needed to. And look, he seemed to get a lot of enjoyment out of making Luke Brooks his bitch in that second half. I know they're good mates, but he went to another level. Like, it's like he was playing the Tigers. He went to another level in that second half to get a laugh out of his mate. Joel?
Yep. Mitch Moses was my player of the match as well.
Oh, unlucky.
So absolutely sensational. Moment of the match, Blaze running over the top of Turbo, making him his bitch. So that was enjoyable to see, make a statement at Combank. A couple of little points I want to touch on. Obviously, I think we've got to be very careful when we do those take the twos and stuff when we've got teams on the back foot. That could have easily cost us, and we had all the momentum. We should have taken the tap and just kept going.
You know,
I don't know why we go from 8 to 10. That just is absolutely stupid when we've got all the momentum. Manly's on the back foot. We would have scored that set. I guarantee we would have scored. We were all over him. They had absolutely nothing. That gave him 2 or 3 minutes to chill out, get back on top of things. We're lucky Jake Dvojevic, their favourite son, is a lazy piece of shit and just stopped in the line. And because if they got that try, they were all over us and they would have come home and probably won the game. So that was a moment we just need to get better. I don't know why we keep looking over, like getting things, taking 10 minutes to decide a play like that. It's first grade football. It should just go, we're 8 in front, take the tap, off we go. So
especially when the captain's about to take the kick and he obviously changed it. So he's the one that's been making the call.
I was going to say, did anyone, I know us, like the group of guys I sit with, we were having flashbacks of the Manly game that BA was mic'd up for, and he was like, and it was against Manly, and we took the two, and he was blowing up that they took the negative play, and then Manly came over the top of us. Yeah. And it was all because of that negative play, and we were all just in our heads hearing BAE saying, "That's a negative play. Why take the two?"
Well, that came from him, that one, because they were originally wanted to take the tap. Yeah. So it came from him. The positive for the game was 14-0. I've seen a lot of our teams in the past would have gone into panic mode and just got beat by probably 50. Hate to say it, but they came back, played their style of football, got back into the grind with Manly, which just we overpowered. And we all said on the show last week, we've just got to smash him in the forwards. I thought Junior was close to my player of the game, if I'm being really honest there, because he was immense off the bench. And look, I'm not going to say stick him on the bench now for the rest of his career. That's what he's doing. I just think he's doing such a tremendous job in that role. It was actually ridiculous how much he changed the game on the weekend when he came on.
Yeah, and he's found his role. I just want to, before I go to Hayden for his final say on the game, I want to highlight how wonderful it is to not be talking about referees this week. It's just a lovely feeling. But on saying that, I just want to say how good teams find a way to win when things don't. I know Manly fans are whinging about that obstruction call, which is it's black and white by the rule book. Now, their first try was off a clear forward pass in the in-goal, which I think everyone saw, including the whole crowd. Their try before halftime, Cherry Evans knocked on. And their second try, he played the ball sideways off mark in front of Will Pendicetti. We're not whinging about referees, but this is what I mean. Good teams, as touched on last week, you said it, Joel, good teams can find a way to win when things don't go their way. And that's one of the most impressive. We come back from 14-0, a couple of things didn't go away, but we got over it and we got on to win the game. And that's what the kind of win you look back on in September. Hayden, final say on that game before we move on to next week. And I've got one more fun thing to do before that.
Yeah, well, my man of the match, same as you, Matt. Hey. It's Blaze Talagi in his debut, but look, as much as I love that scrum play, that run over the top of Trbojevic, we keep mentioning the resilience of the team. And 14-0 down, that tackle that Blaze made to drag the Manly player, I forget who it was, out when we were on the back foot and they looked like they were going to score and get, you know, 20 points there. But Blaze made a tackle, and from that moment, Parramatta were in the game. As soon as I made that tackle, if you watch my vlog, I literally said, I don't want to early crow here, but this is the game-changing moment. I know this team, Parramatta going to win here. And that's why that's my moment of the game where Blaze took it out. I think it was either Garrick or Polo that was taken out, but such a big moment in the game.
Yep. Wonderful. Quickly run through these bold predictions from last week. First try scorer, Joel had Bryce Cartwright. Matt had Clint Gutherson. Hayden had Sean Russell. Troy had Morgan Harper, who did not score the first try. He scored a try. Imagine cashing out in that multi. Adam had Blaze Talagi, who scored first, so Adam gets 1 point there. Moving on to the score predictions.
Hang on.
I knew I'd get yours. It's all right. No points given this week. Moving on to the score predictions. Adam had 23-16. Troy had 30-16. Hayden had 24-14. Matt had 28-12. And Joel had 23-22. So based off the margin, Joel gets the points this week. Bold predictions. Joey Lustig to kick a field goal for Adam. Troy, crowd to beat round one. You forgot about the cost of living crisis, Troy. Hayden had
both and the Easter show.
Yep. Hayden and the cost of memberships. Hayden tickets. Hayden had both Sean's to score. It didn't happen. Matt had both Eels second row score. Well, you got a bench second row that scored. And Joel had Eels wingers to score all tries. One winger scored a try. I can't give any points out there. That's not good enough. All right. Before we get to this week's preview, I've got a trivia game for you. All right. No, so we're going to do some trivia. Yeah. I threw this idea out to Joel, and Joel saw it me last week. So we're going to do it. Now, these are all based on last week's games and this week's game. And I was going to stitch yous up. I was going to do this trivia, and I was going to send through one of yous the answers and just watch you absolutely annihilate everyone else. So I was a stitch up, but I decided to do it fair. All right. So your buzzer is your name. I'm going to try my best. So say your name first. Don't shout too loud. Okay. Can you test your buzzer, Matt?
Matt.
Hayden?
Hayden.
Joel?
Joel.
Troy?
Troy.
It's Troy Warner. Hayden's was the best here. It said the quickest. All right. Now you can buzz in halfway through the question as well. Okay. If you're brave enough. I won't repeat the rest of the question if you buzz in earlier today. Name the five players that played for Parra on Sunday that have played for Manly.
Troy. Matt.
That was Troy.
Guffo, Joey Lussick, Kilmer, Sean Lane, and Morgan Harper.
It's wonderful. That is 1 point for Troy. I haven't really kept a pen and paper. Matt, have you got a pen and paper? Can you keep score?
Yeah.
He's got one in his hand, mate.
Yeah, he always does. All right. I'll wait for Matt. Just put a name down, put a little asterisk next. Yep. All right. You can join in the comments as well, guys, if you know the questions. I'm obviously not going to get the points. What is Blaze Saluggy's player number?
Troy.
Troy.
844.
It's 2-0, Troy. Promise you guys, I didn't sit you, mate.
Look, I won't answer this question, or I'll let you guys go for it.
No, mate.
Mate, if you can get a clean sweep, we'll call you the super fan. No wonder you've got so many fans. All right. Parramatta and Manly have played 150 games. How many of these games have been drawn?
Troy. Hayden. I mean, Joel.
Hayden was actually first, no matter what. Hayden.
Two.
That is incorrect. Joel?
Joel. Five. Yeah,
you were next. Incorrect. It's between Matt and Troy.
How many games all up?
There's been 150 games. How many have been drawn?
None.
Incorrect. Troy, it's down to you.
Look, I've got no idea. I'm going to say seven.
Four. I reckon four.
So these are all incorrect. I'm going to quickly throw it back out again. You're first to buzz in. It doesn't matter. Joel. Can we give Philip Bonello 1 point, please, Matt? Philip Bonello has got it right with four. He's got beat.
Well done,
someone Phil. In the comments. Yeah.
Second guess, Matt. Four.
All right. Now, this is going to be closest to if no one gets exactly correct. What was the crowd figure at Sunday's game?
Joel. Hayden.
That was Joel, even though I feel like he said Troy again, Joel.
No, I didn't. 20,840.
I'm just going to throw this. I'm going to throw this to Troy.
20,374.
Hayden?
20,384.
Matt?
Oh, I've read the number wrong.
20,219.
It's 20,354. So Troy was the closest. Troy gets
54.
Yeah. All right. When was the first Easter Monday clash between, remember you can buzz in any time. When was the Hayden. First Easter? Yep.
2015.
The question is, when was the first Easter Monday clash between South Sydney? I'm just joking. It's between Parramatta and the Tigers.
Joel.
Yes, Joel.
2013.
It doesn't matter. Brendan Grimmer, 1 point. Matt?
Oh, I've gone one off each time.
His beat is. I'll give a bonus point if anyone can name the score, get the score correct from that game.
It was a low one. I think Taka scored a couple of times. Or
I'm giving you 10 seconds.
Matt.
Noah. Yep.
13-6.
No.
No. 20.
Is your name 20? Matt? Bagger off.
You're very close, but no. Hayden, have a guess.
I knew we were winning, and then they scored early. Right at the end.
20 to 16.
No, Joel, have a stab.
26 points to 18.
No one gets a point, so I won the exact one. It was a bonus point. It was 21-18. All right. Oh, no. In the 9 Easter Monday meetings, how many field goals have been kicked?
Joel.
Yep.
3.
Yes, correct.
Oh, yes. Take that, Joel. Yes.
Once again, this is the going to be the closest to, but you're buzzing first. Get the first.
How many more questions to go?
There's only 3 more questions. What's it?
We've run out of time.
No, we're good. We're nailing it. What is the record attendance for the Easter Monday game?
Troy. It's 29,000.
I was going to stop you there. You know when you're off. Yep.
Hayden. Sorry, Hayden, I got that one wrong. I thought it was Combank, but
no. Hayden.
38,260.
Joel?
Joel.
42,500.
Matt?
36,022. Joel actually wins. It was the very first year. It was 50,688. If not Brendan would have got it and gone very close. But all right. There's 2 more questions. What can we have some points updates? Who's leading? Matt, have you got the tally there?
It's Troy on 3, Joel 2.
And no one else.
Me and Hayden are duck eggs.
All right. Well, used to eliminate. It's going to be a straight out battle here between Joel and Troy. All right. Actually, no, we'll make it interesting. Troy, you're out of this one. This question's worth 2 points, okay?
For everyone else.
All right. What is the largest winning margin for the Easter Monday game?
Hayden.
Yes, Hayden.
45 points.
That is correct. Hayden goes to 2 points. All right, final question.
What an easy question that was.
I know, I had to make it interesting. All right, final question. Who has played the most Easter Monday games between Parramatta and the Tigers?
Troy.
As in
Junior Paolo.
Incorrect. He missed Hayden. 1 due to suspension, and he missed 2 when he was in Canberra. Yep.
Wait, was I before you or Matt?
Yeah. Yep. No. Matt.
Hayden. No, it was Hayden.
Hayden. Hayden, go.
Say it at the same time.
Okay. I think I'm going to go Nathan Brown.
Incorrect. Matt.
Mitch Moses. Yes, got one.
Luke Brooks, a close second, but missed a couple of games with injury early on. There you go. So Troy was the winner after all that. 3-2-2-1. Everyone got on the board. That's
can I get a League of Inches hat, Joel?
That was a one-off. All right, let's get on this game quickly. We've got
you have a Guffo signed picture, Troy. There you go.
Oh, thank you, mate. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for getting involved. I like those that said Guffo. And look, I thought that was an obvious one as well, but he's been at Parramatta for longest. But when you've got a player there that's obviously played in both teams, obviously runs away with it. Let's get on to the game after that. Finish with that trivia on the game. Obviously, Monday there at Combank Stadium, you think would be a sellout, but who knows with this cost of living crisis. I was like mentioning that at the moment.
Obviously,
the big guys won't wait for them to drop interest rates. But more I say it, the more they might do it. So I'll go through the team quickly. Obviously, those changes. Gutherson at fullback, Sivo and Russell on the wing. Sivo interestingly returns straight away. Pedersini and Harper's in the centres. Cluggy moves to 5'8". Brown is at halfback. Hopgood at lock. Cartwright and Lane. Interesting Cartwright name in the second row. Paulo, Lussick, Campbell, Gillard. Bench of Moretti, Madison, Offengowie, and Cluggy. The 18th man. Who's the 18th man, guys? I can never see it now.
Hands.
It's not Hands. Ogden. Ogden, yeah. Hands is 20. Yeah. No, yeah, it is. I'm gonna go through this quickly.
Matt Arthur.
I'm gonna go through this quite quickly, but I don't think Cartwright plays. If he does, he's one tough son of a bitch. I think that Maddo.
Well, we didn't think Kelmer was gonna play either.
That's true. But obviously, there's nothing wrong with him. He just carried on like a pork chop after laying on the ground. You know, seem embarrassed. And after getting carved up all night, which is not his fault, but still. Anyway, I think Greg has to come in the team. They've been getting his minutes up there. Greg has to come in. Madison starts in the second row. Greg comes on as that extra front row because Madison's obviously been in the front row. You've got Moretti that can play lock as well that can give Hopgood a rest. It's a no-brainer. Simonson, I think they've named him.
I think Kelmer might start as well.
I think he does.
Maddo's the middle. I hope he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't. I get it, but I don't get it. Like, we seem to have so many good front rowers named in that extended bench.
I think Maddo will start to protect Blaze on that side, I think. I think he'll be on Blaze's side, like he does with Mitch. So, yeah, right. Mitch in defense.
Yeah, like I said, it's, I don't know. I think that changes will be made anyway. Let's just say that. I think Simonson, they've got him there as a precaution. He could come in even. We don't know. Like I said, it's harsh on Harper to drop him based on his wing performances. I guess we'll know about 12:30, maybe 12:45 on Monday. It's not changes made for them when New South Wales Cup run out, as we did this week when we're at the pub. The club, we knew that Monday. Well, yeah, they'll make that late change, but as if in the final, you know, cut down to the 18 or whatever. I want Rimmer in. Let's go to Joel, first of all. Joel, where's this game won on Monday? Don't say on the scoreboard.
Hang on. I want to approach something else first. Mike Acevo starting straight away, honestly. Brad Arthur needs to just make an example of him, and he should have been back in New South Wales Cup. I would have had Bailey start over him, 100%. He has not shown anything for close to 18 months to warrant being selected straight away after the stupidity he did to be suspended in the first place. And just his all-around game lately has just not been up to first-grade standard, in my opinion. So I don't know why he just gets the luxury of being a walk-up starter every time he's able to play. I just think it's sending the wrong message to the group. Other players are certainly showing that they deserve to be in there over him and giving 100% each and every game. And I don't know about him. I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest, because I just think from what we've been building the first few weeks to have him straight back in and his sort of lazy attitude, I just think it sends the wrong message to the club. Oh, to the boys, I should say.
I agree based on what they spoke about. We saw this whole coming together thing, this training camps and stuff, and how suspensions cost us last year, all that shit, la, 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 la. We've said we see the team connected. You hear it every year from every team. I think I can see the team connected. And I guess it's kind of his final shot in a way. I think Brad's brought him. I don't think Brad wanted to bring him in. I think it's the pressure from the club and the attraction of Mike Acevo because, you know, he runs 5 metres for a try and he gets a chant that goes around the ground. So I think that's more the attraction, the hype around this Easter Monday game is why he comes straight back in. And I also think that Bailey isn't 100% ready yet based on that concussion. I know he's had some other concussions before.
Just a quick one. I think Bailey had his knee strapped, I think, when he came in as well. So I don't think he's 100%.
Must have headbutted his knee on the way down from Blue Eyes High Shot or something. Who knows? Maybe Blue Eyes tripped him the same time as him with a swinging arm. We didn't realize. But anyway, either way, Sibbo gets his chance. He's come out in the paper. He said on the news or whatever interview, I've worked on my tackling technique. Let's fucking see it because we heard that in 2021 when you took off someone's head, whenever it was, 2019, sorry, Magic Round, when he killed Jerome Hughes. So let's hope he has fixed his tackling technique and we can see a good game. So give us your thoughts on the game, Joel.
Yeah, not just Sibbo. Should be pretty interesting.
You hated Joey last week and look at him now.
He's flying. He's player of the game, apparently.
He is the Eels that is flying, according to Matt. All right, go.
Yeah.
And they're electrifying.
Really looking forward to seeing Dylan Brown at halfback, Blaze at 5'8". No doubt they probably had a little bit to do with each other around training and stuff, so it'd be cool to see their little combination, see what they can bring. A lot of pressure on Dylan Brown, I think, for the next 8 weeks at least to really repay what happened last year. And there's, again, a lot of talk in the offseason about it from himself. He wants to repay the club and the boys. This is his chance to do so. I think he has it in his game now. I'm starting to see a bit more maturity. I do think we'll see a bit more of Gutho in and around attack as well, which I don't mind either. I think for those super coaches out there as well. He might be a sneaky option. He'll start to score a bit more points now that Moses isn't there. And I just think it has to be up the middle. It does sound boring for us, but we've got like our forward pack is just monsters. We will monster over this forward pack and we've just got to continue it. Like, I know you're saying Rumen needs to come back, but I'm the opposite. I like what our middles are doing at the moment. I don't think he needs to come back. Like, I'm sorry to say, but everything's working so far the first 3 weeks in the middle. I wouldn't change it. I would have Kelmer come in at second row. I'd maybe say hands on as that 14 sort of guy in case Lossick goes down or something, or if he's needed. Even Bailey, if he's fit and ready, maybe throw him on the bench. Like, Brad Arthur doesn't use all four people. We already know that. So there's no point having four forwards there. Moretti's a gun. I'd almost go as far as saying if Moretti can have a sin in the back row, I'd almost have him as well. But I'd just go Kelmer. I'd keep it pretty simple. And I think that'll work.
You keep Wiramu's name out of your mouth, all right? You never say a bad word about my man again.
Do we need to replay the start of last year?
Yeah, no, he's the best. Love you. Hayden?
Yeah, well, I think the most exciting battle for the game is the two young prospects. Going off the Parramatta side, I like what I've seen of young Lachlan Galvin. So him marked up against Blaze Talangi is really good to see in the six. You know, two young NRL players who have played, well, one played first grade for one game and one's played first grade for two games. But I think where the game's won is the kicking game of the number sevens. Obviously, Dylan Brown, that traditional 5'8", and now it's kind of his team moving to halfback there. And then Aiden Caesar, you know, off the boots, probably where those Tigers points are going to come from. So I think it's a big battle between the sevens because, as Joel said, our middles are really working. But I really look forward to this battle of the two young sixes.
And Troy?
Well, I think the game's going to be won on the field.
There's always that one. All right, that's all we've got time for from Troy tonight. Matt, we're gonna give Troy a break. We'll go to Matt. Matt, what's your thoughts of the game? Troy, we'll come back to you when you've got something sensible to say. Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, I think the halves, the way they control the game, as we saw, I'm surprised Arcy didn't get that, which shows Brad's got faith in Blaze, which is good. A lot of the guys that sit around me go to training and they say that obviously they're doing pretty good things. They knew that trial was coming. And pretty much they just say, give Blaze the ball and let him do his thing, which we saw on the weekend what he can do. So let's hope playing his natural position. I feel like Guffo and him might switch. And Blaze might drop back to fullback some point of the game and let Cuffo run it with Dylan. But yeah, I think Kilmer will start to go at Papali'i. But yeah, we're just got to watch Buller and yeah, we'll be right.
I'm sick of this. Sorry, you brought it up. I'm just going to touch on it. I'm sick of this. It's been in all the different groups before the team. I'm sick of this Guffo to six fucking obsession. Gutherson played in our halves in some of our most lean years when we had a lot of injuries. He's nowhere near a 5'8". He's not a half. He's not even a fullback. Okay, he's a great fullback positionally, like what he does effort. His final touch is absolutely terrible. The amount of times, it was evident on the weekend twice, the amount of times when we put a good backline move together and all he has to do is play that final touch to the unmarked winger and he isn't quick enough to do it, that's why you cannot have him at 5'8". We've moved him into the back line in our back line this year. We moved him to first or second receiver so he gets through the ball quickly and we set a lot deeper to allow for his slowness through the hands. Okay, so I'm sick of this obsession. You brought it up. I had to say it. Guffo, not to 5'8". I don't care if he goes there defensively for a bit to give the young fella a rest at fullback, but he cannot be there in tag. If Guffo tries to overplay his hand in this game and not let Dylan and Blaze play their natural games, we will lose the game. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Troy.
Yep.
Look, for the first time in about 50 episodes or so, I think I have to agree with Joel. I wouldn't have had Marcus Siever.
Hey, everyone give a clap. Come on, there we go. Why can't we be friends?
Probably the only reason that he has come back is because of the injury to Moses, because if Moses was playing, I don't think Siever would have been playing. So that's probably the only reason why he is back. As for Bryce Cartwright, I don't think he'll play. I think Kelmer will take that spot. I think Junior will still start off the bench. I don't think he'll start the game. It's been working so far this year, so I think he'll They'll continue to do that. And look, yeah, as Matty said, Jareem Buller, he's one to watch out for. And the kicking game probably worries me a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern. I'll give my thoughts quickly, besides the obvious. I think we can dominate their forward pack. Clemmer's getting on in age. I don't think we've seen the best of Papali'i for them since he left us. Bateman's never been the same. I'm probably firing these blokes up. The one bloke that will stand up is Stephen, which leads me to my cheeky little multi, guys. Little same game multi before I go on the rest of it. If you want to back against their former teams, Stefano Utukamoku, Manu, whatever the fuck his name is, anytime try scorer, and Joe Offengawi, the two of them for $9.25 and $96.50. It's a two-leg multi. I can see it happening, all right? Look, my biggest concern, and you've nailed this, Troy, is the kicking game. I was talking to a couple of people that sit behind me when I saw Joe Lussick taking the kicks for the sideline, which he'll obviously do this weekend. And we need a lot more from Joey out of dummy half. Even if he gets in the first half, they reckon he's probably got one of the best kicking games in our club by far. So we need to see a bit more from Joey kicking this week to take the pressure off. Dylan's got a great short kicking game, but he's really going to struggle with that log kicking. Look, let's get on to our bold predictions and all the fun stuff there, because there's not really that much more to add. Then we'll quickly go some comments and get out of here. I'll go to you first, Joel.
I think the score will be Parramatta 34, West Tigers 10. I will go the first try. I will have Gutho first try, and I will have my bold prediction will be our halves, our 6 and 7, will score a hat-trick between them.
Okay. That is bold. You're still on my exact score. But anyway,
I don't want to see Dil Brown get taken away his running game. Like, we need to make sure he keeps that this week and moving forward. Just because he's got the 7 extra in his name doesn't mean he needs to be structured. Play your natural game.
I just want to highlight on that because I meant to say it in my little preview thing there. I think Junior needs to start this week. I've been a big fan of Junior off the bench. In fact, Jane played 31 minutes last week. He'd be fresh as ready to go. And we need to see Junior start to help out those halves. They're both naturally running halves, and we need a bit more of a ball-playing ability through the middle. So I'd love to see Junior start this week, even if it's just a quick 10-15, have a rest, just take the pressure off the young blokes at the start. Troy, your predictions?
So score 42-14. First try scorer, Sivo. Bold prediction, Sivo to score a triple on return.
That'd be such a Sivo thing to do and run for a total of 13 metres for that. Hayden?
Got to get the points, mate. Got to get the points.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think as much as he doesn't deserve his spot, Sivo's going to have that 2019 form and run over the top of Charlie Staines to score a double in this match. But you stole it, Troy. So I'll go...
Triple.
Yeah, you're taking the triple. I was just going to say a double. Because I think this game will be low scoring. Look, my first try, I'll go Will Pettersini to score first.
Oh, yes, good choice.
Yep, I'll go Parramatta by 6. I think this will be a slugfest. I'll go 22-16. I just think we're going to struggle to find points, but I think we're going to win. Bold prediction, I'll go Jermaine Hopgood to score in the second half.
And Matthew?
Yeah, so Joel took my score.
Oh, you didn't have 12?
Yeah. So yeah. I've changed it. I've got... 36-12 now. My first try scorer is Regan Campbell-Gillard, only because he moved 5 minutes away from me over the weekend too. So see you at the shops, Reg.
Bring him around next week for the podcast.
That's what I said. See what happens? That's how angry we were. We got beat by Penrith last week because we both moved out of the area. So...
All you need now is Grant Atkins and Ashley Klein to move out there, and you'll be right.
Yeah, nah. I swear if Luai moves in, because I'm in West Tigers town. Just a sneaky one, Joel. Blaze Talalungi's only 200K on Supercoach, so just for you Supercoach people.
One more week.
But my bold prediction... And I stole this from Adam, and I hope he doesn't do it. But first points will be a penalty goal.
That's not very bold. We know what Parramatta's like.
Yeah. All right. I'm going because my scores have been taken, so I'm going to change mine to 32-4. My first try scorer, I'm going to go a bit out there. No, I'm not. I am. No, I'm not. I'm just going to go Gutherson. Gutherson loves playing against the Tigers. Nah, I know. Because here's my bold prediction. Out of the try scored, I'm going to have three front rowers from either team to score.
Wait, can we have the same first try scorer?
Yeah. Who'd you say?
Look, Matty and I came up with a
Tennessee, but last week I was going to go Blaze Talangi.
Who said Gutho? Did someone say Gutho?
Yeah, Joel.
Me.
Oh, sorry. I'll go again then. I didn't. Can I go Dylan Brown? Anyone say Dylan Brown?
No.
I don't really.
Matt and I had a thought about this. We could also pick a Tigers first try scorer as well.
We're gonna do it so it's an Eels first try scorer, not a first try scorer of the game.
Yeah, that's fair. Because like the On the Bus Tigers podcast that we do is on Thursday nights. And we're gonna pick our first try scorers for that game then, okay? So if you want to be on the bus with us, Troy, you can come jump on that one as well. All right, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes. Is there any good questions there you found, Joel, going through the comments? I had a lot of interaction.
Hang on.
What?
What do you mean? No, we're not going into questions yet. There is one topic we have yet to discuss, and I'm ready to go on it. It's the freaking 01 jersey. What are you going on about, mate? But you told me to wait. I've waited and waited. It's still hasn't been brought up. There's people in the comments talking about it. It's time. I'm sorry. We've got 5 minutes.
We come back tomorrow night.
We kind of did, though, because we kind of already said the club's lost.
You stopped me. Right. I was ready to go. You stopped me.
Come back tomorrow night.
We haven't got the Joel's rant thing ready to go. Can we just go, Joel? This is all Joel, guys. Don't say anything. We'll talk about it after next week. The rest of us will talk about it next week after the game when we see it in person, when they wear it this week. Go, Joel. I bought one, by the way, because it was cheap. Go.
I bought one, too.
It is one of the worst jerseys, the build up to it. We have heard about this jersey for months and months and months. What they actually released for it was pure dog shit, in my opinion. First of all, that jersey, I don't even rate now for top 5 or 10 jerseys of all time. I don't know why they're bringing it out. Our heritage, our background, what we're proud of, our success is the 80s. Why they want to continue to try and change things around? We're celebrating a grand final. We choked that hard that it would make some people actually, what time are we at? I better not say that joke. So I'll keep clear of that one.
Yeah, go on. Say it. There's been other things that have been said.
The other thing, Macron just needs to go. Like everything that has been produced this year for the 2024 range, I was so keen to get in and get everything updated. I will not be doing any of it. Macron needs to go. This goes back to what Adam, you were saying about the club and not just match game day. But everything at the club at the moment just seems they're so out of touch with us, the fans. It's actually embarrassing. It's disgusting. And things need to change. Like how people can be sitting in that club, looking at those polos and stuff, thinking that bright yellow logo actually looks good is ridiculous. Like whoever made that decision, just piss off tomorrow, get your bags packed, get out of the club, and honestly get people in there who support the club, who want the club to do well, want the people. Like I don't want to be able to wear my polo shirts and that out and about. Oh, if I brought this year's one, there is no way I'm wearing that out. It is actual dog shit.
Yeah, it is. Can someone else have a say? Because I've sent a picture to Joel. Joel, I want you to bring this picture up if you can in a second. Does anybody actually like the jersey? Can we? But don't talk. Just raise your hand if you like it. Okay.
I'm still going to buy it because I've been hyped for this jersey since the rumors were there. I'm still going to buy it because I don't like any of the other merch we've got going at the moment with the fluoro yellow crap. But they should have just brought out the original, like the V. Why did they have to do the little... It should just be a flat-out V like the original.
So I'm wearing the original, guys. I'll give you a quick stand. I'm not wearing any pants. No, I am. Like, I'm obviously wearing the original that those don't know. I'm very close as well. This is the original. Joel, have you got the photo I just sent you there? Can you get that up? On there.
Oh, I can't upload it. I can't bring it.
I thought you could put it here. Hang on.
You should be able to share it.
I don't even know how to use this Mac, mate, let alone share something.
By the time I copy it, I'll save it and stuff.
We'll chuck it on the page, guys, and we'll give credit to James's Parapics, Andrew James. It's what the jersey should have looked like and where they've got it completely wrong. Like, I still got one. I still bought one. Same thing. I was so hyped for this jersey. I hated this year's jersey so much. I bought one because I bought the Young Pearl one. But I was just so keen for this and so excited. But if you look at the picture, which I can't work out how to share because, like I said, I don't know how to use my phone properly, my Mac properly. But have a look at this. We'll get it posted online. I'll send it to Matt. He'll post it. And this is what the jersey should have looked like and where they got it all wrong. Anyway, that's all we've got time for. We'll talk about that jersey a bit more after the game. We've seen it might look better in person, Joel. You're not going to be there, so it won't matter. But it might look better in person for us.
And by the sounds of it, it won't be at the Leagues Club or the ground ever again.
Yeah. Now, he liked the ground and the Leagues Club.
No, I didn't say anything bad about the ground or anything. I said the Leagues Club needs a shot with the Hall of Fame a bit better.
And how good?
Like, if you don't agree with that, Troy, come on.
How good was that wedding cake, though? The highlight of the day, I thought.
Maybe we need to get rid of Macro. So see you later.
And all right.
I agree.
Thanks for joining, guys. I said we'll be back. Well, we won't be doing a Sunday night show because I play Monday. So next Tuesday, we'll try and do this double show again. And I think that's going to be the case for the next couple of weeks just based on when the team actually plays. So that's it.
That was your view, Hayden.
Well, it was pretty good. And this week, I look forward to this one. I'm going down with Nan, actually, and we're 3 rows from the field in some special seats. We're looking forward to it. Should be a good Easter Monday.
How was your view, Joel? Was your view obstructed?
Yeah, there's some idiot in front of him, I heard. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, that was brilliant. What a question.
Brendan Grimmer. Yeah, there gets we go. Brendan gets the most points tonight. So that's what the jersey should look like, guys. As you can see. So credit to Andrew. We'll post online. Have your say. Go on there and comment. Share it around if you want to. Just let the club know. Once again, they got it horribly fucking wrong again. Go back to the 86 jersey. I think that should be our jersey every single year. All right. Over and out. Catch you later.
Hooray.
Catch you next Tuesday.
Go Para. Happy Easter.